Oh, that's right. We are right here this afternoon. It is Meet Me at the Diner, and today my very special guest, Tommy Penley. Yes, he's the general manager and director of golf at Deer Creek. That's right, out there. Have you been out to Deer Creek? Have you checked it out? I tell you what, he and Steve McGee have been out there working your butts off all summer long, haven't you, Tommy?
Absolutely. It's been a long summer. I'm ready for a little slowdown, a little break here, some cooler weather, too.
Yeah, I tell you what, 59 degrees this morning, that's the kind of weather you like.
That felt wonderful, but it didn't last long because after 1 o'clock I was sweating out there doing some lessons today.
Well, how are things going out there at Deer Creek?
Well, I think the buzzword would be encouraging. We're seeing a lot of new customers. Mm-hmm. I have been busier far more than I thought I would be with teaching and giving lessons without even really pushing it very hard. It's mostly word of mouth. So it's encouraging is the great word for the first year.
And advertising right here on WCRS.
Yes, absolutely.
That's
every
right.
little bit helps. You're right. We appreciate your support.
That's right. So we certainly have enjoyed working with y'all this summer. And I know that going into the fall, it's going to be a great time out there, too.
We are looking forward to fall. And the fall is the best time of year weather-wise for getting out, getting some recreation, playing a little bit of golf, maybe even bringing the family out, getting the kids involved or the spouse. And the weather is not near as bad as cold and windy in the winter and 100 degrees in the summer. So the fall is a great time of year, but there's not as many people with school and football and these things, but it's still a great time to be out and play some golf.
Now, just for the record, what do you have out there at Deer Creek?
Okay, we've got a full golf shop where we carry every company, their product, their lines, clubs, everything that you need for golf, from tees to balls to gloves to shoes to shirts. Everything you need. We do repair of that equipment for those who have worn their clubs out, maybe need new grips on the clubs. We do reshafting if they have an accident and bump into a tree or something through anger that they might damage a club. We can fix those too. So we've got a full-line golf shop that we find that we do pretty good even when it's raining and you don't think they're going to be on a golf course. So they're going to come out and kind of see what's the latest in technology. Plus that, then, when you go into the practice facility, we've got a huge putting green that they can practice their game. We've got another green beside it. It's a huge, what we call, short game facility where you can practice all your short shots into the green, including a huge, very large practice bunker. So that could be four people at the same time practicing bunker shots without disturbing one another. Then as you walk further up the hill, there's a very large grass teeing area. It's about 100 yards wide and then about 40 yards from front to back, which is very large. We keep it in good shape so that you're playing off of grass, not off of dirt. But in addition to that, if we get some rains or inclement weather, we've got eight stations that are covered hitting bays. So as long as it's not a sideways blowing wind, you can hit balls under that cover station off the mats and still get your practice and work in that you'd like to do. A large facility. We even got another tee on the far end of the range that people could go there if they needed some real quiet time to get away from the people. Maybe they want to be seen on this tee. So it's a great practice facility. We got everything we need but about two practice holes. If I had a student and said, I don't want you to go play this and practice driving, but it's a very good facility.
Well, I know that this was a big undertaking when you undertook this, though.
Absolutely.
And it's taken a lot of work to get it in really good shape.
Sure. Anything worthwhile takes some TLC, some tender love and care. And, you know, we thank goodness it was already in good shape. And mm-hmm. We're just kind of polishing the apple, adding some bits and pieces that was not possible before. But, yes, it's taken a good bit of work this first year.
Sure. And, of course, you're teaching out there, so people have the opportunity to get some one-on-one with a real professional.
Yes, correct. That's correct. I'm out there basically this summer, seems like 6 days a week. My wife would say it was 6 days a week. And involved in a lot of junior programs, but it's all ages, from age 5 to 95. There's been a lot of interest, and I'm so thankful for the Greenwood community, Greenwood 96. I've got them coming from Saluda. I had some coming in from Wren High School, different places that are starting to follow and use our facility and hopefully use my skills too.
Absolutely. Now, where exactly is Deer Creek, for those that may not have heard about it?
Okay, Highway 246 runs from Hodges over to 96. So if you're going up 72 toward Clinton, toward the lake, at the stoplight there at Masters RV and the brand new Bilo on our far left, then you'd turn right going toward Fuji. And if you get to Fuji, you've passed us because we're on the right about a mile this short, or it'll be west of Fuji.
Okay. So it is a great facility. The first time I actually came out there since y'all had taken over was when the Symetra tour was out there, and you had the Kids Day out there. That was a phenomenal experience, not only for the kids, but for the gals that were doing the teaching and everything too.
It was. I thought it was such a win-win for everybody. I had a great time, and all I did was have to blow the horn and say, all right, switch stations and like that. But
so you were the horn blower.
Yes, I was the one that had to blow that big old loud horn and scare everybody to death about every 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah. So what do you think were some of the best things that came out of that, Tommy?
Well, we gave these kids, and these were boys and girls from 96 from Ware Shoals in the Greenwood School District, we gave them some exposure to these young ladies that were here from all over the world, as
right.
they found out. So they got to see some of that they would not understand if they had not been there.
Sure.
And then number two, then, the kids got an introduction to golf, saw it's a kind of a neat thing, because I have had several contacts since then. Say, hey, my daughter's now interested. You know, what can you do, Tommy, to maybe encourage them, get them started or introduce them? So it was, to me, it was a great, great idea from Mr. Medford and all of his team. And we're thankful that they chose us to let us be the home base for the junior clinic on that Monday.
Absolutely. And not only that, they even got a nice takeaway with them, didn't they?
They did. And that's support from the Sacramento Junior Golf Association. Every kid got to leave there, headed back to school and home with a golf club. Whether they had ever been on a golf course or not, I bet two-thirds of them had never been exposed to a golf course. And so they got to take one home. And again, I've had some comments since since then about how they've been at home and swinging and in their yard and stuff like that. So that's good to hear.
Absolutely. Well, we are here with Tommy Penley. He is with Deer Creek Golf. And we are going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. And then we'll be right back.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. Yes, I'm Ann Eller. Yes, I'm here with Tommy Penley. We're talking about Deer Creek Golf. We're talking about golf here. And, of course, Tommy, one of the things I always like to ask people, how did you get started in golf? What started you off?
Well, the first time I ever get on a golf course, I was following my dad. He just invited me to go along, and I was going to be the little caddy and pull his cart. And he played with my uncle, who also loved to play golf. So that was my first exposure. And then after that, I actually grew up as a caddy. When they built the little golf course there in Abbeville, I started going out, and back in that day, that's how you kind of learned a little bit. I learned that I wanted to find out what is that player who's hitting it pretty good and straight was doing, but the guy was hitting it way over there in the woods. I didn't want to learn anything they were doing. So I did that, and that after I could caddy, then I could go play on the course. So kind of through that step.
And I guess, though, as you worked on becoming a professional here, you really something must have changed, though, because you didn't just look at it as recreation.
No, I think at the time also when they built the little golf course there in Abbeville, I think Erskine College was playing there a little bit. So I got to see briefly some college players, even though I might have been 10 or 12 years old. And I reckon that perked my interest. And then I've always, you know, been around athletics. I played almost every sport in high school. And I finally decided I think golf was one I had the best opportunity to be a little bit better at. And then I chose to really do it progressively through high school and then played 4 years of college at Erskine College.
Sure, and then you went on and became a coach.
Right, I coached right out of college. I coached high school at Wareshoals High School for 5 years in football, basketball, and golf. So I was still teaching mm-hmm. in a, just a different way, and I've always been around that, I think, the teaching mode now. And then after that, I was lured back into the golf business by a friend and back at the hometown, and I've been in golf for all those 30-plus years since then.
Well, you have worked at just about every golf club around here, haven't
right.
you?
Right. I tell people I've just driven a different way to work. I grew up in Abbeville. My first golf job was back there at my home course. I was brought to Greenwood in 1978, and then I've been in Greenwood ever since. I went to Star Fort for 8 years, then I went to Greenwood Country Club for 21 years, and then back to Star Fort for another seven. So I just take a different road to work, not very far away from home.
You know, it's got to be great to do something that you love, be out in the fresh air and working with people that enjoy the sport and want to get better.
Absolutely. You just mentioned something there that I had forgotten. I did spend one summer in high school working in a factory, and I learned then I wanted to be outside. And that's another reason, the golf. I'd rather be outside. I don't care. I never worried about making a huge amount of money. I just want to be comfortable. But I was not going to be inside four walls, you know, 8 or 10 hour shifts.
Well, you know, that's terrific. And then you have three boys.
Yes.
And one of them actually went on and became a professional.
Yes, he did. The oldest one, Kevin, when he kind of followed a little bit in my footsteps. He was a good baseball player. And then all of a sudden one day he come home and said, "Dad, I'm quitting baseball. I'm going to play golf full time." And first, it puzzled me. Of course, you know, inside, it pleased me. But it puzzled me because he was a talented baseball player. And I said, "Well, that's got to be your choice. I'm not asking you to follow my footsteps." And he jumped into golf full-time, had a successful high school, which led to scholarships to college. He had a pretty successful college career. And from that, then he went immediately into professional for about 6.5 years. Got to do a lot of traveling.
What did you feel as you watched your son? What did you feel it really took for him to make that leap into the professionals?
Wow, that's a good question. But he was ready mentally. Mm-hmm. He had the physical skills. You have to develop. When you get to that level, all those players have the physical skills. You've got to have the mental skills to overcome adversity, to fight through the tough times. And you can have some success. And he did. I mean, he finished, he won one event on one of the tours. He finished second in L.A. on what is now the web.com. Mm-hmm. And that's a pretty high level. And so, you know, he got to travel, as I said, all over the world and satisfy a dream right there he wanted to have, to see different places.
So when you see some of the young players, like Tiger Woods was very young when he first got into the professional, what do you, and then he was so successful so early, you know, what do you think about all these kids starting so early? Do you think it's do you think it's a good thing? That's not really what I mean, but what do you think it is for their longevity?
Well, as a parent of three boys, number one, I would want any parent to remember that it's a game. Let's start with that premise, that it's a game and not a job yet. Mm-hmm. So as long as we approach it that way and we don't overbearingly push them into doing stuff they're not ready to do or want to do. But yes, because of all the tremendous programs all over the country, all over the world,
right,
that kids, boys and girls, are being introduced at age 6, 7, 8, and because of the great things that they can be now exposed to with teaching and video and all the different things and good levels of instruction, they can develop some talents pretty quickly by age 12, 13, 14. And now I think we're showing people that this is a way to get your free college education.
Sure.
And go to school and play with golf. It's not just the best football players or the best basketball players. It's another one of those sports that is now a very, you know, very good avenue to get you a career.
You think, though, we're going to see them burning out earlier?
Well, that's why I opened with the comment I did, is if you push too hard, too fast before they're capable, before their body and before their mind is capable, yes. And that's the tightrope as a teacher mm-hmm. and as a parent. Again, if we'll just remember, let's keep it fun first. Let's enjoy it. It is a sport. It's not a job. It's a hobby.
Sure.
And let's keep it that way. And then if they want to start showing they can do it, then you start providing the opportunities. Because, again, only a small percentage actually become what is known as a professional,
right.
whether it's football, basketball, baseball, or golf. So it's not everybody's going to make it.
And you know, I think the other thing is there are so many ways for kids to learn today. You know, it used to be the only way you could learn was literally be out on a golf course.
Absolutely.
And what do you think about the different ways with all this? And, you know, one of the things that always amazes me is how they video the kids, and they see what their muscles are doing, and they can even go inside the body and see how the muscles and everything are working and everything. What do you think about all that, Tommy?
Well, that's the to me, one of the fun things with kids is they are great mimickers. If they see it mm-hmm. and they see it works, they're going to try to copy it.
Right.
It's a little bit harder to get that through to someone who's older, who's maybe seen certain ways or formed certain habits. But if they see a beautiful swing like Rory last weekend, it's amazing how you see them the next week out there trying to swing like Rory or Tiger or Phil or whoever it might be, or then the girls, Annika or somebody like that. So, yes, they love to copy.
Mm-hmm. So you think that the videos and all this are actually a big help to them?
Yes, and I'm seeing even more in my teaching. I've used it more and more this summer than I ever have. Nor is actually
used what?
I use now a video that I've had three lessons today, and I'll take a picture immediately as they're getting loosened up to see what's happening. And a few minutes later, after we made adjustments, I said, come here and look at this picture, and you'll see a before and after.
Right.
And you get immediate buy-in. Yeah, this is working. This is better than where point A was. So, and I would not do it without it now.
You wouldn't do it without it now?
No.
So you're not, let's see, what should I use? You're not old, totally old school then?
I was.
You were?
I was.
Yes.
And I even caught myself last year when I didn't have all of these that I was trying to do it with my own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And many times now with this printed version or seeing it there, through video, that you say my eyes didn't even see this particular position or body. So it's being helpful to me. But biggest thing is conveying to the customer, to that player, because the problem with golf is real and feel are not always the same.
Okay.
I think I'm doing that.
Right.
But that shows I'm really not. I thought I was way over here and I'm over here. So once we get those two parallel, then they really start growing and improving faster. That's the thing I'm seeing.
So, and people then are getting better results, so they're wanting to play the game more,
absolutely.
I would presume.
Absolutely,
yes.
Because nobody's going to go over there and beat their head against the wall, keep doing it, say, I like this. You know, so we want to
see. Oh, come on now, Tommy. Yeah. There are people out there that do this.
Yeah, so there has to be some fun at the end of this thing. I had some lessons this week where we had some players who had played years ago and they had given it up and they are thinking about coming back. And I said, all right, well, tell me what's your number one problem. I said, I can't get it off the ground. And then
that's a problem.
Yes. Before the lesson's over, I said, listen, look at that shot. It's up in the air. I said, you told me you couldn't get it off the ground. I said, well, I couldn't before now. But, you know, just to see that satisfaction, I say, I can really do this.
That has to be rewarding to you.
It is. And that's to me. I mean, the money doesn't mean anything to me. It's just that to see that smile on a youngster's face or an adult, I don't care who it is,
sure,
that I just did something I didn't think I could do.
Absolutely.
I didn't believe inside I could do that.
Hey, we're here with Tommy Penley. You got to stay tuned. We've got a lot more interesting conversation coming up. So don't you go away. South Carolina News is up.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. My very special guest is Tommy Penley. He is out there at Deer Creek Golf just enjoying life, working hard, and he and Steve do an excellent job out there. I know you're going to want to go out there. If you haven't been out there, you need to go out there. I always recommend if somebody's got a big game coming up on the weekend or something like that, you might want to go out there and do some practicing before the big game, right?
Absolutely, because if you're sick, you go to a doctor. You go to where you need to get your helpful aids from.
That's right. And not only that, they have all kinds of golf equipment out there. They can repair clubs, and they are a one-stop shop for you, aren't you, Tommy?
Yes, we are. We've got everything you can pretty well find under the sun. If we don't have it there now, we'll have it in a few days.
That's right. So make sure you go out there and check out Deer Creek Golf. They are right out there up the street from Fuji. You've got a great opportunity. Now, what are the hours that you're open right now?
We're open the summer hours. We're open Monday through Saturday. We open at 9 a.m. and close at 8 p.m. And then on Sunday, we open at 1 and go to 8.
Okay.
When we get to wintertime, we probably open at 10, and then we'll go to about 8 because we do have lights. And when you got weather, when the weather starts getting so cold in January, February, nobody's coming out at 40 degrees with a 20-mile-an-hour wind blowing, so we will close earlier then. But we hope we have one of those warm winters.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you and I have been talking about golf and talking about PGA and all these different things. One of the things that I was wondering, with all the technology with golf, are we seeing lower scores?
Well, we were discussing two things. When you're talking about the general public as a whole all over the world, no, it's not coming down.
Wow.
The average number is about the same as it's been for a good many years. On the professional level, yes, it is. So when I made that statement about it's not coming down, that might say something about our instruction in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Our instruction now seems to be getting better. Our instruction in to communicate that is getting better. So let's hope within 5 or 10 years we're going to see that bar come down some. But when you compare those numbers too, it's up. What is the goal of that individual golfer?
Right.
Maybe it's not their goal to worry about if I'm shooting 50 and 9 holes, I'm not going to worry about it if I don't shoot 40.
Right.
Yeah, I want to go out and be with my friends and be outdoors and enjoy some sunshine and see the animals and the birds. So their goal is just to go out and have recreation and have fun.
Yeah. Well, you know, we were talking about that, but the fewer shots you have per hole, the less exercise you're getting, right, Tommy?
Well, yeah, some doctors might not be happy with professionals, but as you and I were just discussing, is when you look at these men and women on these professional tours on TV, you see some athletes now that when the girls were here in May and we had them out there that day and I did the question and answer session with them for the kids, one of the questions I asked them was, how much workout time do you have? I'm not talking about practice hitting golf balls. And every one of them would say anywhere from, depending on the day of the week, 30 minutes to 90 minutes of physical workout.
Wow.
And you can see that in these athletes.
They've got muscles today.
Yes, they do. And,
yeah.
And they are trim and fit from all the walking, all the cardio, all the weightlifting or stretching. That wasn't that way 30 years ago.
You're saying that you just went out and swung the golf club?
Yeah, well, yeah. There were, as I said, a few more portly people playing the tours at that time. But now some of these people look like they are a linebacker in football. They've worked out so much, and their muscles are longer and leaner, but also can explode and move in a faster fashion because of all this training that we're finding out with the physical body, with the human body.
You know, one of the things, speaking about the gals and the guys, one of the things that does seem a little bit inequitable is the fact that the women, you know, the Symetra Tour gals that were here, the legends that were here from the LPGA and everything, they work hard at that game, and yet the money, the payoff isn't the same.
Well, again, you and I were briefly discussing that. It's they're selling a product, and so far corporate America is not putting out the same dollar for that product. Now, for the reasons, I don't have an answer to that, but you're right. I mean, they're working, the girls are working just as hard as the men are.
And some of them can play as good or better golf than the men, yes.
I had a conversation at lunch. I said, I'd hate to go out and play with Michelle Wee because she's going to knock it 40 yards past me. I'm going to seem like a little shrimp playing against her. These girls can, they are doing things never seen before. I mean, the girl I caddy for during that event during here in Greenwood tour. Is the number one driver out there on tour. I didn't know at the time, but I've since followed it, and I see, and this girl was amazingly how long she hit it out of a short controlled swing.
Now, that brings up another question. Do you have to have the muscle power to do it, or do you just have to connect with the ball at the absolute right place?
You need a little bit of both.
Okay.
It is timing. It is applying the physical movement in the right sequence. But you also have to have some hand, wrist, arm strength, core strength. And that's the biggest thing we've seen in the last 15 years. And I think Tiger's the first one that got us. Gary Player used to do it, but nobody would listen to him. Mm-hmm. And now Tiger really made it something important to do. And that's why you see, I saw the stat last week that Rory, I think in this stretch of 3 or 4 weeks, he's won 2 majors in that, has hit over 75 or 80 drives over 300 yards.
Wow.
That's extraordinary. And back in Palmer's day or Nicklaus's day, a 300-yard drive was once a month. And now
that is different.
It is. It's tremendous. Now, yes, it's equipment. Yes,
right.
It's the golf ball. But it's also their physical bodies. They can move these, and they know how to move the muscles in sequence to produce the maximum speed and control.
Wow. Now, speaking of equipment, what is some of the differences in equipment today that 10 years ago they just weren't out there and you wouldn't have thought about using that type of club?
Well, I need a lot of time to explain that, but there's a lot in the materials that are being used.
Mm-hmm.
Every month the companies are coming out with, this metal is harder than this metal. This ball bounces and rebounds off of this titanium or whatever it might be, steel or different things, that will rebound faster and further. Things like that. The shaft is like the engine to the car. You've got to get the one that fits you as an individual, your swing speed, where do you want that shaft to bend? Because if it's the wrong one, if I'm driving a Volkswagen with a race car engine, I'm not doing very good. Or vice versa, if I got a race car engine and I'm not capable of swinging it, then I'm wasting the dollars and time. So it all has to fit that particular individual. But, I mean, it's a real science now.
How does one know that in today's world?
We would have a player, and you've got these computers and stuff you'll sit there and use, and you'll measure their club head speed. You're going to look at where the ball flies, what trajectory, how far does it go before it falls out of the sky, all kind of things like that, and you're just watching the flight of the ball, and you start developing these parameters to say, well, this individual fits into this area. This one needs to have a stiffer flex because they're hitting it crooked because the shaft is bending too much for their strength. A lot of different things go into it like that.
Wow. That's, I guess, why you have some of the professionals come out with different companies and have a day where they can try out the clubs.
Absolutely. Because to see it on what we call a flight monitor, to see the speed of the club, the speed of the ball, the rotation of the ball, how far it carries in the air, it's convincing. When you see it there in black and white, like I said, well, I go real versus feel.
Right.
Then you say, wow, product A is a lot better than product B for me.
Correct.
Now, for you, it might be product B. So it depends on what fits you as an individual.
Wow. All right. Well, has anybody got a question out there? You can give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We're going to be here going up to 5 o'clock. I am here with Tommy Penley from out there at Deer Creek Golf. So don't you go away.
Does this make sense? We buy your gold, diamonds, jewelry, coins, sterling silver at the highest prices, paying extra for fine jewelry and quality, and we're always buying your diamonds and colored stones too. But We sell at the lowest prices, from diamonds to gemstone jewelry to sterling silver pieces and antique and estate jewelry. Always lowest prices for quality jewelry. See us today, Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We are right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. My very special guest, Tommy Penley, talking golf. It's going into the most beautiful time of the year to be out there golfing. And if you need to practice up or you need to get some lessons, I think there's no better place than right out there at Deer Creek Golf. Now, Tommy, what's the telephone number out there?
229-8080.
Okay, 229-8080. There you go.
Pretty easy. That did take me long to remember that one.
Well, that's pretty good. All right. So, you know, when we're talking about golf, one of the questions I wanted to ask you is, if there was a golf tip in general that you could give out that you think would be the best little golf tip that's not giving away too much, but is a golf tip for the public to think about. I was always told, I will tell you mine, that I was always told, keep your head down.
Okay.
Is that a good one?
No, because now we're proving that is not a good thing to tell an individual.
Okay.
Because we're proving with, everybody tells you when you go out there, your husband or your boyfriend or somebody tells you, well, you looked up. And I can show you on video, you were not looking up, you were looking at the golf ball.
Okay.
So it's something else is happening, but that's everybody's cure-all or catch-all. So there, even I've got a book at home on that, you're not looking up. But in golf, probably the simplest thing I tell you is to swing in rhythm and balance. Any sport that we play, there has got to be some balance. When the body is out of position, out of balance, nothing good happens, whether that's a quarterback throwing it the first game in a few weeks, or a baseball batter or whatever, is rhythm and balance would be the first thing I would probably get somebody to do.
Does that mean that you should listen to certain types of music?
Well, yeah. Gary Player was good at this. He's talking about when he's going to the golf course, he did not need to be listening to this real rapid, high-speed acid rock. You know, type music, and I hope I'm not offending anybody, but in other words, because it gets your mind and your blood flowing like that,
right.
Because in the environment they're trying to slow their heart rate, to slow that blood flow, so that they don't get so excited and get quick and nervous. So, yeah, if someone who is real herky-jerky like that, we need to mellow them out just a little bit, and vice versa. You get some who are just la-di-da-di-da, and I got to work at getting them to get a little bit more energetic.
All right. Well, you know, and then I was also thinking, who was, when you were growing up and getting into golf and everything, who was your idol?
Well, at my era there in the 60s and 70s as a kid growing up, it had to be Arnold Palmer. He was exciting to watch. He didn't do everything by the book that you thought that the perfect execution should be, but he was class. He still to this day will go out of his way to sign autographs, to say yes and thank you and these things. And our society
he's
is
what,
not
87?
Teaching. He's, I think that's correct. He's in his, you know, well past 85 now. And our today's society, we're not doing that. We are forgetting, and all these professionals out there, they're forgetting why they're paying for this kind of money.
Right.
It's because of sponsors and advertisers and volunteers and all these people who are putting this up to have it. If without them, they would not be making this kind of money. So, and it hurts me when I see them get rude with people wanting autographs or a little bit of time here, a little bit of time there, nothing drastic in request, but where they just kind of brush them off and say, I don't have time for you.
Well,
and Mr. Palmer, I've had the luxury of being around him and to see how he just, if it takes an extra hour to stand here and interview and do these things, he would do that. Mr. Nicholas, too. And now I don't see that as much with our younger generation.
That's true. But I will say this. The girls that were here with the Symetra Tour, I thought they went out of their way.
They did.
And I mean, whether it was a 5 or a 6-year-old wanting their back of their shirt signed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're still humble. They haven't gotten spoiled in all the extreme bright lights that the girls at the next level may get to. And I think the girls understand that what I just said a whole lot better than the guys do.
Because they're still trying to get to the big bucks.
They're still trying to get to it, and they're still trying to get to the, even in the LPGA, to get to those bigger dollars and say, thank you, Mr. Businessman, for helping make this so big and so possible. You're right, and those girls went out of the way. I was fortunate that the girl I caddied for signed a golf ball for a young kid on number 17, and we got through. I had one of my students who just started with me in February, and I said, would you please sign one for her? So, yes, she did. Her playing partner did the same thing. So that girl now has both those golf balls with those signatures. Both those girls won this summer.
Wow.
How ironic was that? So one day, both of those ladies may be on the LPGA and might win something big. And you never know. It's a small world. But something that little, planting that seed, might be the difference in that child, boy or girl, maybe wanting to become a professional or play the game.
Sure. I mean, I talked to some of the kids out there. I've gotten my shirt signed 27 times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you would watch the girls, and they'd say, and they'd be just coming off at the final when the tournament ended, and you would have thought the most important thing was getting over there and getting that scorecard signed and turned in. But they stopped, and they signed, and they were very, very polite, cordial, and excited that they were excited about it.
Right. They were excited about the whole thing, because I even asked some of the girls as we were going through the four rounds, they're not used to that kind of reception we had here in Greenwood that week.
Wow.
From A to Z, everything that happened. There's a lot of just them and maybe some spouses or boyfriends or girlfriends with them and some tournament officials. That might not be 100 other people there. To have that kind of treatment that week, they really appreciate it. So thank goodness they reciprocated and hopefully, again, planted some good seeds for the future.
Absolutely, and that should mean what next year should be even bigger.
I would think it would be.
Absolutely.
I certainly do.
So what are the programs? Are you doing any junior programs across the state?
Yes, I actually, not including my own, I do a junior golf academy in the summer where we actually work from May to Labor Day once a week, and then we also go play somewhere. It's pretty intensive. But I also do two programs for the State Junior Golf Association. One of them we just concluding, and we'll finish actually next weekend out at Grand Harbor, the Patriot Club, for it's the Upper State All-Stars, where each their chapters, kind of like counties, mm-hmm. and each chapter runs their only tournaments during the summer, and then your All-Stars, two from each age division, boys and girls, advance to that. So it was happens to be in Greenwood this year. So I've been running that this summer with a good support team. But there's another one that we do in the fall and the late winter called Team Series to help you get introduced from age 5 to about age 12 have never been out there. We do a little instruction on about 3 Sunday afternoons, and then we'll go take them to play somewhere at a golf course here in Greenwood, and they'll play 4 holes, 5 holes, 6 holes. The number one thing we want them to do is we want them to have fun and get introduced to the game.
Wow.
We don't care what they shoot. I've done one last fall and one last spring, and not yet have they asked me, what did I score?
Well, that's great.
And they had a ball. And the good thing is the parents are the caddy.
The parents have to be the caddy?
The parents are the caddy that goes along and support team. They're the cheerleader. And
do you ever have to educate the parents as to what being a caddy is?
Yes, yes. We will do that in this program. But I had a parent tell me last week, and they're talking about enrolling their kid for this fall.
Mm-hmm.
I think we start in late September, October. We're fixing to announce those dates. But they said, I had more fun, I think, than my daughter. But it did bring those family units together on a Sunday afternoon that they could enjoy sharing time together and get out of the rat race that we all try to live in Monday through Friday, Saturday.
And it's so outside.
It's outside.
Right.
Yeah, if the weather cooperate, right. We're in good shape.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, that brings me to another question, you know, as we're getting ready to wrap this up. What role is the cell phone playing in on the course now? What's happening with that?
Well, on the positive side, you can use this to take pictures.
Mm-hmm. You can verify that
you can verify.
Yes.
You can verify if you want to take it home to study. On the negative side, again, we're out there playing a game. We're supposed to have some enjoyment. We're trying to get away from the stresses of work or whatever may be bothering us.
Sure.
And to have that phone ringing all the time and oh, please give me just a quiet time. So I think some people overdo that a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, and even to the point I had a pro-am about 4 years ago. And a pro-am, this is a tournament. No, it's nothing like professional. But, again, there was a commitment by the professional to be there and the three amateurs slash sponsors. And one of them was on the phone constantly talking while the rest of us are hitting, doing business. Well, to me, that was a little rude.
Sure.
You know, and the fact that I committed to be here, or this person came from Greenville or Charleston to give up their time to come play, and I'd hate to have them have to experience that. That, you know, if you're going to play, say, I'm going to try to take 3 or 4 hours, and at least I'll return my calls when this is over.
Absolutely.
That would be a little bit more fair to me. But.
And what about when you're teaching a lesson? Do you take a call?
No, I absolutely will not. I had it happen yesterday. My phone's over there, and I'll hear it go off, and the customer said, you need to get that. I said, no. I said, I'm not interrupting a lesson. If it's an emergency, my wife knows how to get a hold of me through the shop.
Right.
So I'm not going to stop a lesson for that. I've got a voicemail that says, I'm busy with a customer. You know, sorry I missed your call. Please leave your name and number. I'll get back to you as soon as I get me a break. So I'm not going to stop a lesson for that. That's not good. That's
right.
One of my pet peeves.
This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Tommy Penley, this has been an absolute enjoyable hour talking about golf, talking about getting away, and talking about the future of golf. Thanks so much for coming out from Deer Creek. Everybody needs to get out there and practice up, because we all could be a little better, couldn't we?
We could, and thank you for having me here. This has gone by a lot faster than I thought it would. So thank you very much. I hope to see some people that come see us out there, and we can help them with their game.
Do you do lessons for dogs?
Yeah, we teach them to go pick up the ball and bring them back.
Okay, all right. Hey, this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.